So, just thinking of light and theatre, I was going to show you the origins of my sort of working process in a way, which was I'm thinking about precedent as well, as much as anything. This offers sort of an enormous precedent for any poet. This is a walk I made in 99, and I was at the Wurzel Trust, and the only way I could sort of escape this crushing sense of precedent with the romantic manuscripts and their activity there, 200 years before me, was to literally walk out into the landscape. And I followed Wordsworth and Coleridge's route when Wordsworth was essentially opening his hinterland to his friend Coleridge, and described the landscape as I walked through it. So it really was sort of back to basics, back to the very beginnings of making and phrase making and simile and constructing a language for saying something. So that really is where I begin. There are 12 of these maps, which imagine a frieze link up. It's 140 miles, so that's that. And it was called Walking to Paradise, for reasons involving Wordsworth's poetry and his sense of home and paradise and his predecessor, Milton. So there's a kind of, there was a thinking behind it. Now I've lost my other books. Carry on. Moving on from that, I made my own walk around London. So I'm just going to read a short extract from that because it, in a way, the process of bringing the kinetics of an activity like walking in this case and the act of writing, which is very much how I see it, that it's an intentional act rather than an incidental sort of occurrence. That bringing the kinetics of these two activities together for me is very much the sort of the performance of writing and making poetry. So this was a 50-mile walk and 24 linked walks around London. And I'll just read a very short section. It's quite relentless in some ways, but it again is about that footfall and that moment of making a phrase happen. See a group of gas bottles. See a ripped green sofa. See screwed up pieces of paper-based rubbish. A train like a chain-link horizon along the setting sun's sky. Read insane and. Pass a torn latex glove. Pass a dried leaf and you hear distant voices. Hear voices. See a smashed van window and opened dark doors. See a cat crying at the face of another cat. And see the four dark eyes of the cats as you pass. Read pub on the park. A man passes, and voices rise up like rooks into flight. There is the sheen of a light on cast iron. See a dark space of trees quietly standing like police at a scene. A cycle wheel ticks as the cycle creeps, pedaled by a figure among the shadows of trees. See one stone like a star kneeling on earth. See a nose, see the bent frame of a bicycle left, and see one bent post of metal beside it. Hear the clamour of hoarse crows. See daffodils flopped in many directions, three figures in the shade of a tree. See a bench, see a tower of lights far away. Hear traffic, see a bench under the glare of a light above. And you hear the twisting roar of a plane's jet like the gurgle of oared water slowly. See the smooth fuselage nose of a moving plane like a bomb's muzzle. See grass cut, see the dark grey body of a cloud on a grubby horizon of cyan. Hear the single beep of a car driven through traffic, and turn to see cars moving and cars beyond trees like black sheep at dusk with dark glinting eyes. So the book moves slowly, very slowly through London, from Hackney right through the centre, and it just meanders for 370 pages or something like this. And it's a kind of obsessive pursuit, and I suppose that is behind my work as well, sort of the obsession with something. And